Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of BadgerBlitz.com's podcast. This, of course, powered by Overtime Media. I am Jake Kokorowski, senior writer at BadgerBlitz.com, part of the Rivals Network, bringing you everything about Wisconsin athletics, football, basketball, recruiting, you name it. We do it. So really fun show. Of course, Wisconsin takes on number 25, Purdue, down in West Lafayette. On Saturday, it's a 2 p.m. Central Time kickoff on the Big Ten Network. For our opponent, beat writer Q&A, I'm going to direct y'all this week to our YouTube channel. I talked to Tom Dienhart from goldenblack.com, our rivals cousins that cover Purdue athletics, and a very fun chat. We have a Q&A also up on our website. And so Tom just gives just an immense amount of great information about what's happened with Jeff Brown's program on way to a 4-2 record overall, 2-1 record within the Big Ten. But this podcast, I want to do something different today, and I'm going to introduce him now. I've known him since he started doing this media thing, this reporter thing, this analyst thing. Owen Reese, good friend of mine. For those that know the inside jokes on Twitter, he is my handsome adult son. Kurt Hoag is my tall adult son, and Owen is my handsome adult son. Former graduate assistant from UW Whitewater. He is a writer at Bucky's Fifth Quarter still. He does football, basketball coaching at the high school level for Adam's Friendship. And he's also, which I'm proud of him all together for what he's accomplished so far. But he's also a scouting assistant for Optimum Scouting, which does scouting for the East-West Shrine Bowl. And so I've seen his rise. I'm excited to have him on because he's also a former Division III college football lineman, and we want to talk about Wisconsin's offensive line. Owen, I'm blabbering right now, but how are you, my friend? It's great talking to you again.
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Always fun to reconnect. For a couple of years, about 2.5 years, we spent almost every Saturday together next to each other in Camp Randall. But yeah, so it's always fun to be on and talk Wisconsin offensive line, and either thankfully or not, depending on your outlook, this year there's been no shortage to talk about.
Absolutely. And we're going to dive right into it too with this. And Wisconsin's offensive line, it's this offense, I guess in general, going a step back, people are talking about identity. People are talking about what is this Wisconsin offense this year. It looks like it's going to be the run game, even though it's been inconsistent with, two games on, two games off, now back two games on, and you're seeing a 1-2 punch with Ches Malusi and Braylon Allen now, different backs, but I think a formidable duo in that. Now that Jalen Berger is dismissed from the team, Isaac Rendo's out for the year due to a left leg injury. You see Malusi, you see Allen making these strides and looking solid, but it's those in front of them that are helping them with that. And that's why we're talking today about this offensive line. I guess in your eyes, how have you seen this line progress throughout this season, where a little bit of combinations, a little bit of interchangeability earlier in the season? I think you've seen a little bit more of a gelling of a starting five that have consistently stayed on the past two games against Illinois and Army. But what are you seeing from, I guess, overall, generally, what have you seen from this offensive line early on in 2021?
That's a pretty loaded question. But I think the biggest thing is you have seen some improvement. I think that early in the year, and maybe this was a bit of a theme kind of for what it seemed for the entire offense, but it just seemed like there was just a little bit too much going on. Noticed it right away in the Penn State game and continued through the Eastern Michigan game. They were rotating 9 or 10 guys along the offensive line, which just as a, like, I preferred it as a player and also as a coach. If it were up to me, ideally, you have five guys, and those are the five guys that play, right? Those are your five best linemen. And because offensive line is such a bit of a unique animal, as being dependent on chemistry and cohesiveness, the comfortability within each other is a big deal, right? And when you're rotating, even if it's like kind of like hockey shifts, how the Badgers were doing it with 9 or 10 guys, not having that continuity hurts. So, you know, being, you know, say you're the left guard, right? So say you're the second string left guard and you are, I believe it was Michael Fertney, and you're rotating in with Caden Lyle as the second string center, you know, every two series, that's just, it's hard because you're not doing it every drive. And so, you know, you're playing half the snaps. It's a difficult thing. And then the other issue I have is, and you know, it's a bit of a mystery whether or not they were doing that because they felt as though that all of those guys were good enough that they had earned playing time, or that to me, or maybe my question was, is there not a bona fide five best linemen? And they're kind of trying to seek that out. So there was a lot going on. Obviously you're breaking in a new running back. You know, this isn't a Graham Mertz podcast, but obviously, right. Like he's had some, adversity this year and right in the second half of last year. And there's a lot of, so all of that put together probably led to the offense that we saw, right? Those first 2 or 3 weeks, you know, they even, you know, despite their, you know, they kind of walloped Eastern Michigan, but it wasn't pretty, you know, it was more of a, we have more sheer talent than you. And eventually that created itself to manifested itself to 34 points, not because of, you know, superior execution or, you know, anything like that. So I think that, you know, against Notre Dame and obviously Penn State, the first game of the year, there's a lot going on. It was not cohesive. And I think over the last couple of weeks, you've kind of seen that even if they had to, you know, pull the reins way back and like, look, we're going to make this real simple. We're going to run the ball a lot. They've shortened the rotation. I watched as best I could against last week for the Badgers against Army. Thank you. And it appeared to me that there was very little rotating going on. Joe Tippmann or Caden Lyles a little bit at center, but other than that, there was no Tyler Beach to Logan Brown. There was no Josh Seltzner to Michael Fertney. There was no, you know, Tanner Bordellini was at right tackle for Logan Bruss, but Jack Nelson was not coming out of the game either, right? So there was a bit more, or if it was very limited, and it wasn't like the every two series like it was at the beginning of the year. And I think that they're like, look, we're going to get our group, and whatever the best shot is to put out in front of Malusi and Allen and kind of let them just pound opponents into submission. It hasn't been pretty. It's been a lot of beatings will continue until morale improves type of thing. But if that's what it's going to take to win, you know, it's not ideal, but Paul Christ and Joe Rudolph, you know, they're there to win football games, not to, you know, win a style points contest. So, obviously, it's not the offense that everyone, I think, fans really expected, right? And even, I'm sure, the team, right? Which I think kind of gets lost a lot when fans complain and critique about the players and the coaches. I was like, I promise you, no one's more upset about their performance than they are. You know, but it, I think that's the biggest thing. And I'll get done rambling. You were done rambling. But I think just really kind of stripping everything down to the basics. And, you know, they've reduced Graham Mertz's role, right? I think against Notre Dame, you end up throwing the ball, which is certainly not what the Badgers want. You know, they stripped that way back. They said, look, we're going to hand the ball to Ches Moosey. We're going to hand the ball to Braylon Allen. We're going to throw it to Jake Ferguson, and we're going to get out of these football games with a win. And then that's what they've been able to do and lean on the defense. And I think a lot of that really has come down to the offensive line, you know, kind of like the KISS method, you know, keep it simple, stupid. Don't rotate too many guys. You know, just we're going to run the ball, keep it easy. And we've kind of seen that against some, right, a little lesser competition. Wins-wise, Illinois, and certainly talent-wise with Army, it's worked. We're curious to see how it goes against Purdue on Saturday.
Right. And I mean, you're talking about like, yeah, the rotations. I'm looking at Pro Football Focus right now too. Everybody, I'm taking a look, like Jack Nelson, Joe Tippmann, Josh Heltzner, Tyler Beach, if out of the, you know, they say 60 total snaps. I think it was actually 59. You know, those, they all played 59 snap, like all the snaps. Tanner Bordellini had 58, they said, on that. But so they played the vast majority of the game. And we, that's something that we saw, I think, against Illinois, you saw like Lyles and Fertney and others get reps at those positions, you know, at center and for Lyles and right guard for Fertney. When the game was in hand, like in the fourth quarter when they had the reserves in during that win. So it's been very much, you know, you've seen that. I guess, Owen, with that, just when you describe that, just with the line and golden pass protection, right? And it's one thing where you hear, you know, everyone's talking about like the running game and being that identity, but Paul Chris mentioned it, that he feels that they have to be more consistent throwing the ball, which everybody agrees. You take a look at what Wisconsin's doing right now in terms of passing game, bottom third of the league, of not just the league, of the FBS. Passer efficiency is the same. I guess within that, just when it comes to the line, do you feel it's more on Mertz? Is it more on the line and the pass protection? Because, it, you know, they only gave up one sack last week, right? But there are some pressures early on in that contest, again, you know, against Army. But we've seen Graham Mertz underneath duress against Notre Dame, against Penn State, against Michigan. You know, I guess, is it a chicken or the egg situation type in terms of who's to blame? Are they, I mean, I think they're all, they both are in terms of the inconsistencies, but what do you see through your eyes?
Yeah, I think there's, I don't know, it's like a cop out. I think what's going on, right? Another thing, and not to bust on this, right? We mentioned the competition. Penn State has Arnold Ibikite, and another name is escaping me, number 40, the other defensive end. Those are NFL draft prospects. Michigan has Aiden Hutchinson, who will probably be a top 20 pick. Notre Dame is a defensive line filled with NFL talent. Okay, then you go even to Andre Carter, their outside linebacker, leads the country in sacks.
Yeah.
Right. So that's certainly an excuse. And it's not a, you know, I'm not defending the Badgers offensive line play, especially in pass protection, but there, at a certain point, there is a little bit of the other teams on scholarship too. So that's the part of it. I would say part of it is, especially in pass protection, moving Tyler Beach to left tackle was a tough thing early. Tyler Beach, you know, obviously he played right tackle last year. He started at right tackle with Logan Bruss at right guard, and was rotating with Logan Brown earlier in the year. Missed a lot of fall camp with an injury, if I remember correctly. So didn't have a ton of practices, and then immediately gets thrown in against the Ibikite, the Temple transfer, who's an NFL prospect, poorly. And I think that Tyler Beach was pretty upfront about that. Moving from, not to get too into the weeds here with offensive line stuff, but moving from the right side of the line to the left side of the line, obviously there was quite a bit of time. He knew, right? Like that wasn't like the day before the game, they told him he was going to play at left tackle, but it is a big change. And especially for how long he was on the right side, you know, kind of being Logan Bruss's backup when Cole Van Lannen was at left tackle, that is a bit of an adjustment. And to keep it simple for the people listening, you know, a lot of people, I think, get a different concept of it. They're like, well, I switch people Madden all the time. It doesn't matter, right? Like, it's kind of trying to minimize or trivialize the change. The next time they go to the bathroom, try to wipe with the other hand, right? It's not as simple. You can still get the job done, but it's probably going to take a little longer, and it's not going to be nearly as normal, right? And that's a similar concept to switching sides. The left tackle, and like I said, so the for like a guy like Beach, right, it was his first time starting at left tackle in college, minimal preparation time in fall camp due to an injury, and you know, that paired with the improved competition is a big deal. Outside of Beach, I think that Wisconsin has, and I apologize for the phone going off in my house.
no worries.
There is a, to an extent, there's a bit of probably frustration as far as, like, obviously gone great, I think, right? Like, and there's a reason they cut down on that. Another thing I think, and that what I've kind of seen is, and this isn't a new problem for Wisconsin, but they've really struggled with speed inside. I think that has something to do with the types of guys that they get. You know, obviously Wisconsin, they want their blockers first, right? Badger offensive linemen don't get on the field due to their pass pro prowess, right? They get on the field because they're road graders in the run game and they're physical and big and strong. You know, but that's been an issue with Wisconsin as well. And then finally, I think the other one too, right? Like, if you can go to the other tackle spot, Logan Bruss has been pretty good. You've got Tanner Bordley played center last year, now at right tackle, and right, he gave up that sack right away to Carter and a couple other pressures. There's a lot of moving pieces, and I think that Logan Bruss is probably the one sure thing on the bad line right now. So especially these last couple of weeks, with him out, has been a challenge. A lot of it's communication, and I think that's part of the frustrating part. It has to be for Joe Rudolph as well, is Tyler Beach is a fifth-year senior. Josh Seltzer is a fifth-year senior. Logan Bruss is a fifth-year senior. Caden Lyles is a fifth-year senior. And all of that has culminated with all these errors, right? And that's the frustrating part, is these guys are veteran, seasoned players, and there's been some communication lapses or just simple execution lapses on stuff that shouldn't necessarily be as much of an issue as it has. And I think that's probably got to be the biggest bugaboo for the Badgers, is, and especially for Joe Rudolph, who's taken a lot of heat, right? Like, the offensive line hasn't played well. You know, I think to the maybe to the national media, who doesn't follow the Badgers so closely on a week-to-week basis, I think for a long time they've gotten used to giving Badger lines the pass because they have a motion W on their helmet. So they assume that the players don't change or the quality doesn't change, but the fact of the matter is it has, right? So this year they have not, and probably I would say even the last couple of years, probably since that final year of Michael Dieter and Bo Benshaw and David Edwards, that line that was together for so long. Since then, I mean, it's been above average for college football, but it certainly hasn't been to the standard that's been set at Wisconsin. And I think that it's, as I mentioned, as frustrated as fans think that they can get, or, you know, they tweet at the players or tweet at the coaches or get mad on social media or whatever. You know, I promise nothing is, they're not more frustrated than Joe Rudolph or Tyler Beach or Logan Caden Lyles or any of these guys, right? These older players that maybe falling short of that standard, but aren't intending to, right? And, you know, that's a common thing for a Paul Christ post game press conference. These guys don't screw up on purpose.
Right. And we've heard that too. Yeah. That's what the one thing that Paul's said about not just the offensive line. I don't think you meant even the offensive line, but even just anything in general, like Jack Van Dyke's errant kickoff, a few weeks ago, you know, where against Michigan, where he's not trying to kick it out of bounds after, after a field goal, which then Michigan marched down the field and made it a two possession game again. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's kind of, at the end of the day, I don't have a scale or a, but I think it comes down to a lot of little things. The Badgers have played some pretty good defensive fronts. Does that mean that they should give up a bunch of sacks? No, right? But it does explain a little bit of it. You've got a new left tackle, a guy who's really in his first—he's in his first full year at left tackle, and you've got a lot of moving parts. And then again, at right tackle, right, the one real, concrete solid spot that you've had is now occupied by a redshirt freshman that played here as a true freshman, right? So there's a lot going on. I think especially over the last couple of years, right, the Badgers have really recruited, or at least they've thought they've recruited the offensive line position very well. And I think the recruiting services would say that, but the fact of the matter is Jack Nelson's the only guy who's getting on the field right now. Out of that, I guess Joe Tippmann as well. But out of that, you know, these last 3 years with the, you know, three or four and five star guys, multiple of those guys in every class, so it's and truthfully, and it's kind of a bummer, but it is a lot of the older guys that are having some of these issues. And, at this point, it kind of is what it is. But, you know, because, again, college coaches aren't in the business of playing guys that aren't going to win. Right. Like that's their livelihood. So if they think those are the guys that are giving them the best chance to win, that's what's happening, despite fan frustrations. But there's a lot going on, and it, it's it's tough to watch. I've had, someone I used to coach with in college kind of reached out to me, who's a former member of the Badger program, and had mentioned, he's like, what's their identity? Iowa's a zone team. Oklahoma's got their GT counter stuff, right? Like, you've got these teams that they're so entrenched in their identity. And Wisconsin, with a lot of the counter, right, and the pulling and pulling guys and pulling tight ends and fullbacks, and that is something that's kind of missing right now. And I think that there's a lead to that, but I Badger fans aren't the only ones, I think, that are frustrated here and are kind of at a loss. And that's kind of where I'll end this, I think. But there's a lot of factors in play, and it's not so simple as to just fix one thing. But they're certainly right to be frustrated. I think there are quite a few things that are awry. Just a matter of getting them worked out, whether that's personnel or coaching or play calling or the other team, right? Like, there's a lot going on. And there's reason to be frustrated, but it's not an easy fix or a one variable. There's a lot of things going on.
Right. And I mean, and to note that, in terms of, they have made some improvements, I think, over the last two games. You know, again, it's against inferior competition compared to a Notre Dame or a Michigan or a Penn State, but against Illinois, no sacks, no tackles for loss. Against Army, they only allowed one sack. Both games, were at least 198 yards rushing. It was 198 against Army. It was 391 against Illinois. And for that matter, I thought it was impressive against Army, where Army came in allowing only 54 yards per contest on the ground. That was nearly four times the amount. So I saw progress there. This is going to be an interesting week against Purdue, who only allows about 116 yards on the ground. But, and for that matter, Wisconsin's only given up 12 sacks on the year. Obviously, for those that follow Pro Football Focus, they've given up more pressures than that. But that kind of leads me into this next question too, talking about the Boilermakers, which have a revamped defense. And if people checked out the Q&A we had with Tom Dienhardt, he described just how this defense has changed. There's technically three co-defensive coordinators, from both the defensive line coach to the linebackers coach to the secondary. And the linebackers coach Lambert calls the plays on Saturdays, but that defense, has vastly improved. They're, second behind Wisconsin in the Big Ten in total defense in terms of yards allowed. They're only allowing 14 points per contest, and turnovers they've only generated six, and four of those came last week against Iowa in a huge upset win. But it's all being led by George Karlaftis, who. His numbers, Owen, don't look great. It's 22 tackles are not great. I mean, let me rephrase. They're not necessarily, bombastic or huge. I mean, 22 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss, 3 sacks. But for those that like Pro Football Focus, he's got 30 pressures in 6 games, which is 5 per game. That's insane. Against Iowa, he looked like a monster. They credited him with 12 pressures alone against the Hawkeyes offensive line, which everyone thought, their offense, Iowa, is not great, but it's still good enough to maybe have half that. But Karlaftis really influenced that game, officially just one sack and 3 quarterback hurries, but his presence was well known before that. I guess if you're Wisconsin, how are you trying to defend Karlaftis and even someone like Branson Dean that, an athletic, maybe undersized defensive tackle but he still leads the team in sacks with 3.5 and has 6.5 tackles for loss too. How are you trying to defend that line? But in particular, Karlaftis.
Yeah. So George Karlaftis, the former 5-star recruit. I think Badger fans, if they do follow recruiting, will remember the Badgers were one of the finalists for Yanni Karlaftis, George's little brother, last year. Eventually went to Purdue. But Karlaftis is the type of guy, you're right, the stats aren't huge. But you can, one of those situations. Every single player on the Boilermaker defense is better because George Karlaftis is taking all that attention from the opposition. I think there's kind of go about attacking him. I think the easy one, right, is like chips with a back or a tight end, lining up with a tight end there, just giving him extra bodies, extra attention to deal with. Another thing, I put this in a tweet earlier in the week. You know, anytime he ends up one-on-one with any of the Badgers at tackles, even Logan Bruss, right, who I would probably say is the Badgers' best lineman, that's, you're not putting him in a good situation, right? You're asking for trouble. And he's a guy that you probably have to slide the protection to him. You know, for most, the Badgers have been playing a ton, and not so much in the last couple of weeks, but earlier in the year, they're playing a ton of 11 personnel, right? Which typically leads to, which is one tight end and one running back, I guess, to clarify. So typically three wide receivers, and a lot of times in 11 personnel, the main pass protection, if you keep the running back in, it's all six man protection, and it's like half man and half slide, right? So that typically the side with the running back, will have kind of be one-on-one with those two guys, and usually the center and back will slide. So I think probably look to slide the protection a lot if they're in 11 personnel stuff to Karlaftis. You know, as I mentioned earlier, with a back, a tight end, different ways to try to deal with that. Get it out quick, because I think another one that obviously it's probably more of a cliche or coach speak, right? But the less time that Graham Mertz has the last time that Logan Bruss or Tyler Beach have to account for Karlaftis in the pass rush. And then finally, and this is probably the most on brand for me, you know, the best way to account for a good pass rusher is to run the ball, right? I think that obviously the Badgers want to do that anyways, but if you drop back with Graham Mertz 35 times, that's probably not a winning formula. Obviously that's not what the Badgers want to do anyways. You know, but the more, either throwing on early downs to try to keep them off balance, to keep them from kind of pinning their ears back and knowing, okay, it's second and nine, it's third and eight, right? It's a high probability that this is going to be a pass, and really kind of get geared up for that. The more you can do, stay ahead of the schedule, right? Moving, you know, ahead of the chains, get it to third and four, right? Get it to second and four, second and five, to where it can, you can remain balanced and two dimensional as an offense, you know, and it's not so predictable for a guy like Karlaftis, who obviously is very talented, and you can give him a lot of attention, but that, you know, the defense just as well is capable of scheming things up to move him around, or to, you know, loop him on a stunt, other things that you can do, so where it's not just him on, you know, the right tackle every play, or the left tackle every play, right? So right. I think probably a multifaceted approach is the best way to do it. Changing the snap count is also another very underrated one. I think that that's something that you can kind of keep them guessing, whether it's going on set, going on two, a silent count, whatever the case may be. Anything you can do to disrupt him or keep him dealing with more processing more, right? You know, sending a back out in protection. Does he have to be the flare player? Does he have to deal with that? You know, do you try to crack block him on tosses? Are you trying to account for him in pass protection and play action with a guard? But that's another way. Just something else. Are there different change ups, right? To not just give him a same static look every time and make him play slower by processing. I think those are all ways that the Badgers can try to at least negate his, obviously, as you mentioned, the stats aren't eye popping, but he's the best player on the field, regardless of typically who they're playing. And it won't be any different. George Karlaftis is a better football player than anybody on the Badgers right now. And so that's going to need to be the main focus for Wisconsin this week.
All right. Last question for you before you let you go, Owen. How do you see this game playing out on Saturday?
Well, I'd be lying to you if I said I'd seen a ton of, but I do think with the way that the Badgers are playing right now, I think I don't think it's going to be a ton of smoke and mirrors from the Badgers. I think that they're going to line up, and I think you and I have always kind of theorized this with Paul Christ. I think he's typically obviously very conservative, but it more so if he thinks he can get out of a game with a win with only doing so much, I think he typically takes that, right? We've wondered that in games in the past against Illinois, and like, well, it really seems like they're playing with a pretty limited playbook. If they're able to run the ball in the Boilermakers, I don't think they're going to divert from that too often. You know, Purdue has a ton of momentum. They've got a bunch of talented receivers, right? David Bell obviously is the freak, but Milton Wright and Jackson Anthrop are good players as well. Payne Durham is a nice little tight end. So they've got some pieces. Aiden O'Connell and Jack Plummer. You know, they I think they played three quarterbacks last week, but those are the two that they want to play. You know, it'd be an interesting thing. Aiden O'Connell and played against Jack Sanborn in high school. That'll be an interesting storyline to see that. O'Connell went to Stevenson High School, where Muma Jungmeta graduated from. So that'll be kind of an interesting side storyline. But as far as, you know, if the Badgers are able to dictate the game, they've had success against Purdue the last few times they've played them. You know, if they're able to run the ball, I think that's what they're going to do. I think that, you know, obviously with some of the passing issues that they've had, it sounds simple, right? But the less you have to depend on it, the better for them. I do think it would be prudent, though, to try to get Kendrick Pryor involved early. He and Danny Davis both. I think that Jake Ferguson is, you know, pretty predictably the top passing option for the Badgers a lot of times. I think just little stuff, getting other guys involved and just making Purdue back off a little bit and say, okay, well, they are willing to throw it and they're throwing it to different guys. Chim Deke could be a nice, you know, maybe a shot play to him, right? But different things to kind of let them make Purdue back off a little bit and not just be so hell-bent on stopping the run, I think would be just enough to get Wisconsin to squeak out a win here. You know, I was talking with someone earlier today and mentioned the Iowa game about how the Iowa win over Illinois or Iowa in the Wisconsin win over Iowa in 2018 was the one highlight of that season, right? Which I think Badger fans would remember was a, you know, 8-5. It wasn't the season they wanted, but they also beat Purdue in a 2-overtime game that year too, right? So it's kind of
triple overtime. Yep. 47-44.
Yep. So that'll be, you know, I think that's this to me, Purdue's got a lot of momentum, but this to me could be kind of an uglier game like that, or a, maybe not ugly on the scoreboard, but ugly as far as not the type of game that the Badgers want to get in. But I do think there's going to be a lot of fight in there. I think we've seen that, you know, in particular, the secondary, right? Scott Nelson and Colin Wilder have been very outspoken about how this is not the season, not the start, obviously, that they've hoped, but, you know, they're going to keep fighting and they're not giving up on each other. They're not, you know, they're fighting and clawing and obviously, somehow, as of right now, the Badgers still control their own destiny. If the Badgers win out, they're going to be in the Big Ten championship game. So it is what it is. My prediction for this game, I think Wisconsin's able to somehow squeak out a 24-20 win. I think Karloftis probably has two sacks, but it's just enough. I think Braylon Allen ends up over 100 again, and I think Malusi ends up somewhere around 85. Right, it's just enough that they're able to get a big one. I think a big play. I think he's due. I think Chim Dike catches a deep ball, maybe off a play action. You know, and gets Purdue to back off just enough for them to continue to battering ram Malusi and Allen, and come out of this weekend with a much needed win, and some much needed momentum heading into a all of a sudden much more winnable Iowa game next weekend.
Oh, man, I appreciate you. I know I said like maybe 20 minutes. I think we've gone over that, but I appreciate you, man. What up? Before I let you go, what else do you have going on at Bucky's fifth quarter and beyond?
Yeah, so I've been pretty inconsistent with it, mostly because of who I am as a person. But I tried to do some film room stuff. Luckily, as you mentioned, you know, I due to my scouting duties with Optimum Scouting in the Shrine Bowl, I have access to some of the all 22 coaches tape. So I try to use that for bad stuff, to find things, right? Find explanations for things. Why are the Badgers doing things? Are there any patterns we find? So I haven't not been super consistent with it. I apologize for that, but I do that as well. Typically grade the games. Will not be able to do so this weekend. We'll be at a wedding in Austin, Texas. I will be watching the game, however. And so doing that, I think as we get closer to the end of the year, I think we might start doing some like roster evaluation pieces. maybe, and kind of get to the bottom of, you know, maybe what's going on. And as far as, you know, the fans' expectations, what they should be, and kind of gauging stuff like that. So looking forward to the end of the year. Some of these, you know, some of these adversity filled seasons are usually some of the better ones. I think you kind of find out what your true colors are when your backs are against the wall a little bit. And I think as we see this on Twitter a lot every week, but you know, everyone's always quick to cheer for a winner, right? But it's not always, it's usually the crowd isn't quite so thick when things aren't going great. So Badgers are going to keep fighting. I think I've said this multiple times, the Badgers are going to be just fine. They're not going to go to the college football playoff this year. But the sky is not, no matter how, you know, no matter how bad things look from the outside or how badly it seems as though that fans want the sky to be falling sometimes. But the Badgers is fine.
Excellent. Man, appreciate you, my friend. Take care. I'm always going to be watching your stuff, man. Proud of you for your accomplishments and what you've done so far, man. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely, Jake. Thanks for having me.
Folks, it's Owen Reese. We'll take a quick break, come back. I'll give my quick keys to the game and a prediction here on the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, powered by Overtime Media.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Thanks, everybody, for coming back to the BadgerBlitz.com podcast. This is Jay Kokorowski once again. Big thanks to Owen Reese from Bucky's Fifth Quarter and Optimum Scouting to give his takes about what has transpired with Wisconsin's offensive line and what could happen tomorrow. That we recorded on Thursday night. I'm recording right now on Friday before the game. We are less than 24 hours from Wisconsin and number 25 Purdue. A couple quick housekeeping notes when it comes to what we talked about with Owen, Tyler Beach, you know, he was at right tackle last year for about, I think it was 6 of 7 games. He started at right tackle. He did start in 2019 against Purdue at left tackle when Cole Van Lannen was out of that game. And he worked there, but he also worked during spring ball at left tackle for that matter. And Owen brought up the, I believe he mentioned the injury during fall camp. He was out for a good chunk of fall camp with an injury. And then on top of that, too, I mentioned 12 sacks Purdue, you know, has that Wisconsin has given up. It's actually 11 that the Badgers have given up, not 12. I know it's just one, but I always like making sure I'm accurate there. So there we go there. Real quick, we have three keys to the game. I'm giving you guys a little bit of a preview for what's to come tomorrow in our pre-snap read. That'll be up tomorrow morning. And what that does is just obviously our three keys to the game and our staff predictions. When it comes to that, my first one for the team, I'm going to go with, obviously, and this was, we discussed this in our YouTube TV preview earlier on Friday afternoon, get to quarterback Aiden O'Connell to contain Purdue's passing game. They come in averaging 334 yards per contest. It's one of the best in the FBS. On top of that, O'Connell's had back-to-back 370-yard-plus contests, you know, in the last two games, I believe, it was against Illinois. And then, of course, last week against Purdue. It's going to be big for Wisconsin to contain that. David Bell is the big name. Obviously, 38 receptions, 679 yards, 4 touchdowns. A big name, a big name to watch. And Wisconsin, either Fan Hicks, Caesar Williams, or some combination of defensive backs will have to contain him, but also three other Purdue players, four including Bell, have 20 or more receptions on the year. To get to O'Connell will help alleviate that, right? Can Nick Herbig, who leads the team in sacks with 3.5, can he, but he's had more pressures on there. Can he make an impact? Can you take a look at Jack Sanborn, Leo Chanel, the defensive line, Matt Henningsen, Keanu Benton? If they can do that, that'll be big for Wisconsin to disrupt passing lanes, disrupt timing, disrupt everything. So I think that's going to be big for Wisconsin there. My second key, really derailing Purdue's pass rush. That is, it's going to be tough with Karlaftis. We talked about him ad nauseum already, not just today, but in an article I had on BadgerBlitz.com earlier this week and with Tom Deanhart when we talked to him as well in our Q&A. But I would say, you know, obviously, they need to derail it enough when needing to pass. And they will need to pass. You know, one of our keys, I mentioned this in our YouTube show earlier on Friday, is to Wisconsin needs to run the ball. And John McNamara said they need to get tight end Jake Ferguson going with the passing game. So obviously you want balance with every offense, but, you know, they will need to pass, I think, to keep Purdue honest. This defense is much improved from previous Purdue units. So, but it will be, they need to chip on Karlaftis. You know, we talked already with Owen about some keys there, so I won't redigest everything for everybody here. So again, but they're going to need to contain that pass rush. Again, 94 pressures, according to Pro Football Focus, for that unit through six games. Last one is going to be, again, limit turnovers offensively and generate takeaways defensively. Real simple, real easy. It's just, this game could come down to a key turnover. We saw one happen last week with Leo Chanel's strip sack against Army, and that led to a game-deciding touchdown. That could be very well be the case again on Saturday afternoon in West Lafayette. Also, Wisconsin has 15. They've generated 15. They've coughed up the ball 15 times, and that's going to be rough when it comes to defend. You know, I mean, if that happens on the road against a potent offense like Purdue, that can lead to trouble and an early deficit. So again, limit the turnovers there. Hold on to the ball, no fumbles. If the pass rush does get there, obviously trying to throw it away or whatnot will be key, and not trying to force balls that could lead to interceptions. And then for Wisconsin defensively, you know, they only have four takeaways so far through its first six games. If they can generate more pressure, they got close against Illinois. They've had opportunities. Now it's time to, as what John McNamara said on our YouTube show, it's time to capitalize on them. And we'll see if they can do that on Saturday. So on that note, folks, thank you all for listening. Big thanks again to Owen Reese from, again, Bucky's Fifth Quarter and Optimum Scouting for joining us. Tune in next week. We'll talk Iowa, big rivalry weekend. Could be a lot on the line, too, when it comes to the Big Ten West between the two programs, depending on what happens this weekend with Purdue and Wisconsin. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at @_Badger_Blitz. For me, it's at Jake Coco. For Owen, it's at Reese Draft, R-I-E-S-E, Draft. And then we have a new YouTube show, new two series. I call it Badger Blitz TV. Make sure you follow us to search Badger Blitz on YouTube. We're there. For Facebook, search Wisconsin Badgers on BadgerBlitz.com. Tune in next week, folks. We got a lot more coming up. Thank you all for listening. Be well this weekend. Be healthy. Be safe. We'll catch you soon on another edition of the BadgerBlitz.com podcast, powered by Overtime Media.